was he still played fully the next year. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah. Well, but things have changed a lot since then. I mean, the commissioner his role in dealing with disciplinary issues has changed significantly over the last 5-10 years.
Do you feel the Patriots just sort of beat Goodell to the punch?
Maybe so.
As far as a suspension or releasing.
Yeah, maybe so. And, I mean, again, Aaron Hernandez has had more than his share of issues. I mean, this is a guy that has had, other problems in in his career. So, there's another accusation from February. The number I heard today was pretty look, I'm not going to say I was shocked, but, I mean, it was a little bit off-putting when you think about 28 arrests of some sort or another for NFL players since the Super Bowl. 28 arrests in the NFL.
That's 6 months.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Holy cow.
Now, look,
we
could be talking everything from DUI to now potentially a murder charge. We do know there's a murder charge. It may not be Aaron Hernandez's. Cleveland Browns rookie Ausar Walcott arrested and charged with attempted murder for allegedly punching a man outside a club in New Jersey. This happened yesterday. Charged with attempted murder for allegedly punching a man outside a club in northern New Jersey. Authorities tell a newspaper that he punched Derek Jones in the head just after the Palace Gentlemen's Club closed early Sunday morning. Apparently he had some pent-up aggression. Police say Jones, who is from New York City, is in critical condition. Walcott's held on $500,000 bail. The Browns said in a statement the team's aware of the situation. They have not cut him as of yet. He was signed by the Browns, undrafted free agent out of Virginia last month in 45 games for Virginia, 128 tackles, a sack and a half, 4 passes defended, and a fumble recovery. Needless to say, when you're an undrafted free agent, you're on thin ice as it is, and you got a lot to prove.
You don't have the entire organization behind your back.
You know, that's part of it. And then I saw a picture of it, and this is on a much lower, different scale. This is more akin to the Prince Harry snafu than the Walcott arrest. But I saw a picture that floating around now of Mark Sanchez dancing half naked with his can showing with some chicks. And I'm thinking, man, do you have any interest in being a starting quarterback in the NFL?
What? I'm just having fun.
I mean, Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, these are things you're never going to see from them. It just kills me. That guy, he's clueless. It's amazing to me how clueless that guy is.
Okay, so the question that everybody has, the football-related question that doesn't have anything to do with court proceedings or murder charges or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots, tight end.
Yeah.
Tebow.
I said it initially. When the charge was first mentioned and it came out right after the Tebow deal got done, I said, well, you think they didn't have a thought that maybe he could help him at tight end?
Is that the direction that it has to go? I mean, there's got to be somebody else out there who's professionally a tight end who can catch passes from Tom Brady.
Well, all I know is this. If I am Belichick and I'm thinking about trying to push him in that direction, this is the easiest out I've ever gotten because I'm going, hey,
yeah.
I hate to ask, but we're kind of at a pinch.
Hey,
You're a team guy. Can you help us out?
It's the same coach who moved Troy Brown from wide receiver to free safety because he had no other choice, and it ended up working out.
I'll be shocked if Tim Tebow doesn't catch some passes out of the H-back position of some sort.
Huh.
You know, I don't know if they line him up at fullback and run him out of there, but, I mean, I bet he'll catch some passes this year.
If that's the way it goes, Bill Belichick truly is a genius.
Well, and look, they may have known. Certainly Gronkowski was a liability, A, for his behavior, B, for his health issues.
You get the sense that they were sort of planning ahead for the end of the Gronkowski era in New England because
and
he seems such a bonehead.
Instead, it's the odd turn of events, and it's the end of the Hernandez era.
When did he sign this contract? I mean, it's a pretty huge contract he signed.
Who, Hernandez?
Yeah.
It's huge.
44 mil?
5-year, $40 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a guaranteed contract, is it?
He's originally from Bristol, Connecticut, the home of ESPN. Didn't know that. Interesting. Anyway, yeah, so he's gone. There's another story today that I had sent to me. There's discussion that it says Aaron Hernandez could be the poster boy for a league-wide SEC drug policy. This is from Kevin Skarbinski.
How's that?
Well, the thing is about Hernandez, apparently when he was at Florida, he had a handful of marijuana arrests, which I'm not sure how you tie those together. But it says, according to sources with 3 NFL teams, the Florida product's precipitous fall was because of multiple failed drug tests for marijuana as a collegian. We're talking about in the draft, I assume.
Okay.
The Globe quoted one longtime NFL executive who suggested that Hernandez had failed as many as 6 drug tests at Florida. Last week, Sports Illustrated reinforced the story, reporting that Hernandez also admitted to NFL teams that he failed numerous drug tests prior to the 2010 NFL draft. Florida officials dispute those records. "I would go on record saying he didn't fail 6 drug tests in Florida," says Steve McClain, a senior associate athletic director. I'm not sure how. I don't care if he failed 27 marijuana tests. I don't think that is in any way indicative of a future NFL criminal.
Yeah, those things don't really go together.
Murder gateway drug.
Marijuana and murder do not go together. There's some other drugs that maybe, you know, yeah. I don't think that one's
I mean, if you got busted for heroin, I could see it, but sure. I don't know. That's a stretch to me, but we'll see if the SEC decides to be a little more aggressive. I mean, there's talk that there are other schools that are – there are schools that are less aggressive in prosecuting or dealing with drugs than others, and Florida is one that's certainly gotten a black eye over the years.
Where does A&M come in?
I don't know. Well, you go back to Urban Meyer's time there, and Urban Meyer had – I mean, the numbers were staggering. I mean, I can't remember, maybe 30, 40, 50. It was a ton of players arrested in one for, again, you're talking about the gamut. I mean, not to the level of, you know, Hernandez's murder charge or whatever he ends up getting charged with, or the situation with the Browns linebacker, but I mean, they had a, you know, pretty good spectrum of charges over his career at Florida. So, you know, and it kills me that people always want to point the finger, oh, this guy did that, or this guy did that, or this coach doesn't have control, or whatever. I mean, look, things happen even when you are a great coach and you are at a great program and you do seem to have pretty good control. And, oh, by the way, he won a couple of titles along the way.
Yeah, but kids are going to be kids, too. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we can be accusatory towards programs if there's, you know, kids that get arrested for some small things. You know, some of the stuff that we heard about, you know, I remember some defensive players for Alabama beat the stuffing out of kids to steal their backpacks and their laptops. I mean, that's not just kids being kids.
Right.
I think, you know, you're talking about smoking a little weed. That's kids will be kids. So, I mean, what can you do about that?
Well, you deal with it. I mean, it's something that – it's against the law, and if it wasn't, it would be different. And I think a lot of people look at it differently than committing a crime such as you're talking about violent crimes or stealing things or whatever. But it's as illegal as anything else. I mean, until it's not against the law in most states, and certainly here in the South it's illegal in all states, you know, you have to deal with it as such. I mean, and so it's – I don't understand the point, and I understand everybody wants to win, but if you're in an elite program, I think you can afford to be a little more proactive in suspension and a little more proactive in your punishment. Now, there was a story about Johnny Manziel getting some hot water at A&M and the fact that he almost missed the entire last season, and they told him basically he couldn't play football, and his parents threatened to transfer him to a JUCO, and Coach Sumlin stepped in and said, wait a minute, we can deal with this internally, and so they did. Now, what is exactly he did, we don't know, and we don't know exactly what the punishment was, but Sumlin was comfortable with it, and apparently the university was too because they backed off it. So that's a whole different kind of story. I was going to say in the same vein as, hey, we like to point the finger at other people or sometimes complain about things that are happening to us and saying it doesn't happen elsewhere. I saw a story this morning. Adidas unveiling new black jerseys at a school with some decent football tradition, Nebraska.
Black jerseys at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Wow.
You've heard a lot about the black shirt defense. Yeah. I didn't know they'd actually go black jerseys.
No, that's one of the programs that I just never would associate the color black.
That's it. Well, and other than that, again, the black shirt defense has sort of been it's the phrase that pays for them, although mm-hmm. it didn't exactly show up at certain points in the season last year, like when they give up 70 to Wisconsin. But anyway, the point is, you know, we get hung up in this whole, this is tradition. And, you know, Penn State certainly has been true to its, you know, color scheme. Same thing with Alabama. And most other schools probably who have had a lot of success are in the same way. I mean, I haven't seen any black mixed in or fuchsia mixed in at LSU. But
no, I understand trying to do things that look a little cool or a little different. I wasn't a fan of the white on white Razorback logo that I saw this last season. I hope that I kind of like the red outline, but, you know. To me, there are some programs that the two colors that they've been using for how many years seem to work.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, look, I mean, kids want, players want to look cool. They want to feel that they're part of a program that's keeping up with the times. If you look at what all these other programs, it's not just Oregon and stuff like that anymore. It's Maryland, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost every program is putting together new uniforms. So, I mean, I understand.
Yeah, that's my thing. Right or wrong, I don't know. But the bottom line
is, it's the way it is.
Well, the argument always is, though, well, I don't see this program or I don't see that program. Well, guess what? Nebraska's an elite, nationally respected, long-time-coming program. I mean, they've been around for a long time. They've been successful for a long time.
Wasn't like Oregon, the Johnny-come-lately.
Right.
neon green.
Exactly.
We're cool in Nike uniforms.
And so I think aspiring to be a great program, I think people get sometimes too hung up on the uniform thing. But, I mean, yeah, I agree. Here's my thing. If you're going to do it, you better hit a home run. You don't want to be bunting for a single. And well, I think we got a little bit of that last year. I mean, the anthracite was a total farce.
Yes. It's just a weird name for our color.
It was even a half-assed attempt at black. I mean, it was like, come on. If you're going to do it, go for it.
Yeah, that's right.
Aren't black. Those are anthracite gray.
That anthracite was a sacrifice bunt.
Yeah, that was exactly it. Oof. Remove the runner over. Stupid. Anyway, the whole point was, lost on most people. I'm fine with the traditional. My thing, here's my deal. You can make traditionally colored uniforms really cool. I don't think you have to go away from the color scheme to get kids interested.
Yeah.
I do think there's ways to make the uniform flashy and interesting that aren't going to offend your longtime fan base and still appease the young people who you're trying to grab their attention.
Well, and then there's also the case of, you got to sell jerseys.
That's it. Well, and the thing is, everybody acts like, and we've always had this discussion, and even I've been guilty of it, it's an either-or proposition. What isn't? It can be both. I think you can the color scheme thing for most fans I hear complaining about, they don't complain about the design, they don't complain about this or that. They don't like the outline necessarily hog as opposed to the filled-in hog and the helmet, which I get. But ultimately, it comes down to you can appease both groups, I think, if you're careful. Yeah. I think doing stuff like this, though, there are going to be some PO'd Nebraska fans over this deal, I promise you. More importantly, as far as actual players and actual football goes for Arkansas, huge day yesterday signing Ty Story, who is, by all accounts, a great all-around athlete. 6'3", 217, runs a 4.9 40, passed for 4,300 yards last year, almost 4,400 yards last year, and has chosen Arkansas over Alabama, Auburn, Arkansas State, and others. He says, I've been a Razorback at heart forever, it seems like. The coaching staff just put me over the edge when I went up there for a visit. Just knowing they will put me in a great place to win, that just kind of put me over the edge. Well, good job by Brett Bielema and his staff, the number 9 pro-style quarterback and the number 2 recruit in the state, according to what I'm reading here, for the not the next class, but the class after. So, big deal. It's a big deal.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. Well, look, anytime you get a recruit, even if it is from Arkansas, away from Alabama, it's a good thing.
Even if it is a junior.
Yes, exactly. But that's great. I'm glad to see it. If you want in today, 433-1037, you want to win on the Hernandez deal. Speaking of Oregon and the Johnny-come-latelys, apparently they've got a lot of struggle with the NCAA. They get a slap on the wrist, 3-year probation, they lose a couple of scholarships, no bowl ban, got off pretty easy, and I don't know how significant the actual missteps were for the Ducks. Or whatever a misstep is in duck parlance. But anyway, I think they got off pretty easy in this whole deal.
Think they have their webbing cut?
Maybe so. There you go. 433-1037, 1-800-477-1037. Come on in. Keith Lee, Service Company, live fan feedback. Love to get a bunch of it today. And you can also email us, thezone at 1037thebuzz.com. At the end of this hour, bottom of this hour, rather, not at the end, but the bottom, we're going to talk to Jonathan Wasserman, bleacherreport.com. NBA draft is tomorrow night. BJ Young, fingers crossed, toes crossed, whatever it takes to feel lucky. Well, do you, punk? We'll see if he feels lucky or not, or maybe whether or not he should.
You said back of the second round, right?
I think at best. I mean, if he gets drafted, period, I think he's thrilled.
Drafted, so, period, and then a year in the D-League, probably.
Probably so.
Yeah,
Barrett's the lead later in the show, too. We'll talk SEC football, get his thoughts on Johnny Manziel, the Athlon. All-American preseason teams came out yesterday as well, and Travis Swanson named a second team, so that was good. The only Razorback mentioned. Get his thoughts on maybe Heisman hype, other than Manziel going into the season, and talk about some of the other preseason reports that are out regarding the SEC. Tyrone, once in. Tyrone, welcome. How are you? Sorry. You there? Tyrone? That's what I like to do. Love to start the day on a missed call. Perfect. What time you guys play tonight?
It's a 7:10 traveler game tonight against the Frisco Rough Riders. That's the Texas Rangers affiliate. And the All-Star game last night in Northwest Arkansas went fully in favor of the South Division. We talked a little bit yesterday. The South Division in the Texas League, which is made up of Corpus Christi, Frisco, Midland, and San Antonio, has been the complete dominant division this year, and it was made true last night by a 6-0 South Division shutout win.
But it was a Naturals player that won the Derby I saw.
Yeah, Matt Fields, all 6'5", 268 pounds of him.
Wow, that's a big man.
I understand the wind was blowing out last night at Arvest Ballpark.
Has he ever played tight end?
He actually was an all-star forward in college in basketball.
Well, maybe he should think about picking up some tight end and moving to the northeastern part of the United States.
Well,
there's an opening.
I'll tell you about Matt Fields. And I, off the top of my head, I think it's 17 or 18 home runs right now. But he hit the longest home run in the history of Dickie Stevens Park. This was 2 weeks ago. It was a 1-0 count. It was his first swing of the game, and he cleared the scoreboard. I've never seen a ball clear the Dickie Stevens Park scoreboard, and he cleared it with a little room to spare. Went down the street between the Municipal League and the and the Wyndham Hotel,
yeah,
and it's probably still rolling.
That's pretty amazing.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, estimated at least at 500 feet. And I think he had something like 20 homers in the Derby last night.
Yeah, 24 or something, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a legitimate power hitter, but he's also an all-or-nothing kind of a hitter. He either is going to take you deep or he's going to whiff. And that's been the case with him mostly this year, and that's been the knock against him in his career. He started his career in the Devil Rays organization and you know, played some independent ball and is now, with the Royals AA club. But the real star yesterday was George Springer. For you Astros fans listening out there, and you're a little down in the dumps about
the only
how
Astros,
bad Houston is this year.
The only Astros fan I know who claims it is Clint Conk, who grew up, that was his closest major league affiliate, I think.
Well, Coach Conk, George Springer may eventually be your everyday center fielder. He was the first-round choice out of the University of Connecticut 2 years ago. Legitimate right-handed power hitter, very quick wrists, quick forearms, good in the field, a lot of swings and misses, but also he's hitting for a higher average than guys who strike out quite a bit. So he was the all-star MVP, hit two home runs, and now he's up to AAA. So Corpus Christi lost their best player, and that's what happens this time of the year in the minor leagues. Halfway through the season, yeah, Guys move on. If they show that they, you know, mastered this level, which Springer did.
Well, that's good for him and better for the other Texas League teams, I guess.
Somewhat. And for the Travelers, our team pretty very much is the same. Haven't been all that many changes. I think they're looking for a little measure of consistency in the second half. A lot of talent there. A lot of talent there. And I think they have the talent to win the North Division. But it's been such an up-and-down offensive attack right now, that losing a lot of 2-1 games, 3-1 games, and there's the talent there to score 6 or 7 runs a game. So hopefully that'll come up.
Later in the show, our Red, White, and Who continues. A great American, one of our framers, will do a trivia question in relation to someone, and Matty T will have that for you. And a winner gets a Budweiser cooler and gets in the running for a Budweiser refrigerator to be given away Friday night, military night, at Dickie Stevens Park.
You know what else is going on these next 4 games for the Travelers? Omar Vizquel will be managing the Travelers.
Is that right?
Yes.
The former Cleveland Indian?
The former all-star Indian shortstop who played for the Giants and the Rays and the Mariners and the